book of Mark, if you would, with me, as we all stand. I owe you 10 to 12 minutes, so I'll try to make up for it tonight and get you out of here before 9. If you would, Mark chapter 4, if you would, with me. Thanks again for being here tonight. We have a pretty good attendance, 70, I think I've counted 76, and I wrote down 76 names. Some of them I might have made up, but thank you for being here tonight. That is a real blessing. If you would, please, Mark chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 35. We'll read down to verse 38. The Bible says this: "In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him," now have you ever said this? "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Heavenly Father, help us now, give us strength and wisdom, guide us in every way. I pray, Lord, more than anything, that you'd be glorified and we would grow as believers in Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Title of my message, not only for you to keep notes, but also for the sound man: Secret in Surviving the Storm. There isn't a one of you that in 2025 or 2026, if you have not already been in a storm, there will be a storm in your life. I have seen some storms in the last few years, and one of the reasons why I can preach this message with confidence is I've been able to see success in the storms that I've been in. I've stayed firm. You haven't seen me quit. I still have a smile on my face, a skip in my step. I still do work. I don't lay in my bed and cry and moan and gripe and complain and murmur. I know none of you do that. The worrying has begun every time there is a storm. The average believer has no idea how to survive in a storm. And I'm not talking about winds and rain and that, but I'm talking about storms of life. We all have them. We have physical storms. We have health storms. We have marital storms, family storms. We have business storms, financial storms. And sometimes some of you have them all the time, mental storms. We got to understand, most Christians I know, when a storm comes, they stop going forward. There seems to be a halting in their life of something. They compromise. They get a stiff neck. They worry themselves sick. They get angry at God, people, and inanimate objects by throwing them out the door. The other day, we saw a guy get mad and hit something, and my wife looks at me and goes, "Remember those days? When we first got married, if I got upset, instead of hitting her, I threw something out the house." I still remember my neighbor come to me on a Saturday, because Friday night, he goes, he saw something. He comes to my house on Saturday morning. He says, "Did I see a TV fly out your front door?" I said, "What TV?" It wasn't me. It had to be someone that looked like me. Amen. I was about 20 years of age, and that's how I dealt with things. In the middle of frustration, you don't need two little hands coming in there telling you how to do it. Anybody ever been there? Anyways, those are my good days. Amen. Hey, but we've all been there before. Amen. Faced with a crisis. We must, yea, it is imperative that we act properly with a peace that passeth all understanding. These 12 apostles had been with Jesus for a while, saw his miracles, and yet when trouble came, "We're going to die." Come on. Amen. So I give you a few things today. They all start with the letter P to make it easy for you. If you would, please, verse 35. And we got to see some things. And first of all, the Bible says in verse 35, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto him, Let us pass over unto the other side." First of all, we need a plan for them. Now, let's just stop for a second and remember something. They're fishermen, a lot of them. A lot of them were fishermen, or most of them grew up in that area. Winds a bad time to travel on the water. Night. Now, I don't know about you, but anything I do at night, I have to plan for it. Come on, you're out in the dark. It's not like here. You step out here, there's lights everywhere. Back then, it wasn't that way. You know where the light was? Whatever you was holding in your hand. That was your light. Now, a lot of you have your cell phone light and go, isn't this cool? I said, yeah, but that's all you have. If everything else was out, that would be dark. And that's hard to work with, isn't it? I like those. My son bought me he bought me one of these shop lights, and he got it the right color. It's a Milwaukee. And my wife loved it. I said, you go on camping, why don't you take this light? And that, boy, them girls like that. That light, that shines on the whole house. You open that thing up, it's nice and bright. That's the kind of light I want. But you got to plan for them. Keep a marker here and back up with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to show you something, because I don't think believers see this. In Matthew 7, you know the story. I think you remember this. This is the ending of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, therefore, in verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the heat and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And all God's people said, amen. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which hath built his house upon the sand. Now listen to verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Does that sound like verse 24? Or verse 25? Doesn't it sound exactly the same? And great was, and it says, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's remember something. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have testings. You're not going to have rain and storm and wind. You're going to have problems. Why? We're living here. If you don't have problems, that's called grave or heaven. I was telling someone this evening, because, you know, let's be honest, we really like giving a weather report when someone says, how are you? I just came up with fair to partly cloudy. But a lot of people will come up and they'll let you know all their aches and pains. And I'm not complaining about that. That's human nature. But I always like responding like this. I sure do like pain. They go, really? Yeah, that knows I'm alive. Because if when I stop feeling, I know I'm dying. So pain's not a problem. It's severity and the amount, and it keeps going. That's something. But just getting pain, I don't know about you. There's times I'm sitting on the pew and I'm in pain. Someone said, why do you move around? Because if I stand still, I get in pain. My back needs to move a little bit more. My legs do. Every once in a while, you'll see me doing this. I'm over here keeping this left leg going, because sometimes it says, I don't want to work. But all I'm telling you, we're going to have, the first point on this, the testings are coming. Come on, amen? Just because you built your house good, you got Jesus as a foundation, doesn't mean you're not going to have winds and rain and storms and things are going to go bad. Plans are going to go bad. You're going to have a bad hair day. It can happen. Come on, Tom. Jim, Pastor, we can have a bad hair day. Billy Crystal said he woke up one day and only found one hair on his pillow. He said, yay, good hair day. And his wife goes, is that your last one? Everybody's got to throw a little problem on. Amen. All I'm saying is this. The wise and the unwise, the foolish, both ended up with the same problems. Look at chapter 8. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, and now when Jesus saw the multitudes about him, he gave a commandment to depart unto the other side. Verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't mean it's not going to rain. The only difference is we have help. Come on, amen? We're not alone in the boat. Aren't you glad about that? Look at chapter 16 of the book of John. John 16. Jason quoted this the other day, or paraphrased it. And or read it. I can't remember what he did. I put his message out of my mind. No, I didn't. He says these things. Look at chapter 16, verse 33. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." And all God's people said, amen. In Jesus we have peace, but in the world you shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Hey, the Lord says, listen, we got a plan for them. Folks, listen, I'm telling you right now, before this year's over, you're going to have a problem. If you haven't had one yet already this year, you'll have something go wrong. Something's going to mess up that you'll have to stop and say, hold on a second. Pastor said, I'm going to have this. I better be ready for it. Be ready for the storms ahead. I was talking to, I'm not going to mention Robert's name, but he needs some firewood. And I said, well, you should have done that in June. Thanks, Pastor. That's what he said. Everybody likes to be poked when they're right? I'm just messing with him. But, you know, we've all done it, haven't we? Not planned. Barbara's having sicknesses, and I understand that. Sometimes that happens. But I'm going to tell you what, you don't want to be caught. Come on, amen? You ever be caught without enough gas? I remember once I said, I'll get gas when I go home. And I got to the job site. My boss sent me to another job site. And I had to drive to it. And on the way home, I'm looking down there, and it's doing this on the E. And you talk about prayer life starting. I'm driving down the road like this. In the car, I had a Buick Skylark, and I'm going like this to try to get into the gas station. I pulled up the gas station and went, clunk, 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 clunk. Boom. So I go to my wallet, $0. I didn't have a credit card until I moved up here. I was 34 when I got a credit card. We paid everything cash and checks. And I get up here and they go, you got to have a credit card if you want to fly or if you want to rent a car. Oh, fun. And so anyway, so I did. I sit there. I go, what am I going to do? So I went through the car, shook all the seats. I found 49 cents in the car. Got a gallon and a half of gas. Doesn't that sound cool? That shows my age. Amen. I'm a little bit younger than some of the people here. But I thought, wow, I wasn't planning right. I should have got gas first. Actually, I should have got some money to put in my wallet to get gas. Anyway, so God planned ahead. Temptations are going to come. Not only that, look at Romans in chapter 8, if you would please. Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans in chapter 8, if you would with me. I like this part. This part is cool. So we got to remember that testing is coming. Temptations will be constant. They're not going to stop. These temptations are not stopping. Come on, amen? Until we die, we're going to have problems. And after we die, the family will have our problems. I was talking to Randy after his mother-in-law passed away. I says, how's things going? He goes, we're almost done with it all. All the paperwork. The dealing with the estate and all that kind of stuff. So look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs. Speaking of problems, you hear that? With Christ. If so be that ye suffer with him, that ye may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen? For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. I don't know about you. I didn't choose this world. How about you? But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. And all God's people said, amen. Trials will conclude one day. That's why in 1 Peter he said, suffer a while. Lord's coming again. Groan. Anybody here like me and my body, it makes noises that never did before. This morning, I do my push-ups in the morning and then in the evening. And so this morning, I got down to do my push-ups, you know, 100. I'm down there doing my push-ups. I'm down there, and I'm hearing this noise. It was my ankle. Every time I'd go down, my ankle's going click, 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 click. I said, that sounds really cool. I mean, at least make a good note, not that stuff. Our bodies are groaning, waiting for that redemption. Amen. Go back to our text. Let's see the second point, if you would, please. Let's see the second point. Look at verse 35, if you would, with me. The Bible says, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. We need to prepare for them. Not only plan them, understand they're going to come, but let's get prepared. The loyalty to his statutes. The Lord said, get in the ship, so they got in the ship. Listen to me very carefully. Get in the right ship. Amen. You want to be in the ship where the Lord is, where the word of God's being preached. You don't want to be in a ship where God's not in it. Some of you have been in churches where God wasn't in it. God's not in this one. You got to get out of that ship, get in the right ship. You got to be in the right ship. You got to be doing the right things. Follow the word of God. Amen. Learn, number two, learn how to handle the storms. The Bible says, let's go there, 1 Corinthians, quickly. Let's go, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look down with me. We're going to look down to two verses in 1 Corinthians 10. The Bible says this, he says, listen to this, wherefore, in verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Would you say the phrase take heed is prepare yourself? Anybody ever looked down a sidewalk and saw ice? And what's the first thing you do? You start walking a little different. Maybe even put your hands out. It's like children running around with their hands in their pocket. I used to think, I can't wait. Amen? Can't wait till they trip and all of a sudden they're going down and face planting. They get up and cry and you go, get them hands out of your pockets. Get prepared. God, not understand. He said, I like this. There hath no temptation taken you, but just as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. Escape the storm or escape the bad reaction to the storm. Either or, amen? All I'm saying is this book gives us all of the escapes of storms we need. So stick in the book so you can know. So we need to learn how to handle storms. They were fishermen. I like this. I don't know why I put it down there, but I thought this was kind of cool. Maybe it does it to you. They were fishermen, so row. Amen? And the storm comes, start rowing. They should have started rowing the boat instead of complaining and whining. They should have just got busy. It would have been better. Back to our text, if you would, please. Back to our text. I like this phrase here, and I think it's something. He says in verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, listen to this very carefully, they took him even as he was in the ship. Amen? Verse 38, when it was in the hinder, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, look at the Lord, asleep on a pillow. Storm wasn't bothering him, was it? Taking a nap. And he says, unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Listen, how do you prepare for a storm? Be loyal to the statutes of God. When he says, get in, do this, go to the right ship, get in the right ship. Amen? Learn how to handle the storms. When the storm, we ought to be in the Word of God so we can understand when problem comes, what do I do? When difficulty arises, when someone offends me, how do I handle it? When I offend someone else, how do I handle that? When I blow it, how do I handle that? When a bill comes I can't pay, how do I handle that? I like what my pastor says. I found out over the years I can always sell something or work more hours. Don't always have to borrow. I can sell something or work more hours. Come on, amen. And so well, I've done that over the years. Just do it. So learn how to row. Lastly is you got to have the Lord in the ship. Got to have the Lord in the ship. Now, I don't know about you. There's some storms I can't fix. I was talking to someone the other day. I says, I can't fix this. I've tried for a year. I can't fix it. I'm going to give it to God. Amen? Some storms you can't fix. Got to let the Lord take care of it. And it's nice that he's in the ship. Verse 36, we'll see the next one. He says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. People for them. You need people. You know, sometimes we want to, let's be honest, am I right or wrong? When we have problems, we get away from people. We kind of isolate ourselves. We kind of like a, yeah, I don't know if anybody's, I don't know if your dogs do this. When you guys go on vacation, of course you have the boys home, so there's always someone at home. But I remember when my dad was raising beagles, we would leave, we'd come back home, the beagles in the same spot we left them in the week earlier. The beagle hasn't left. He's all alone, and he's crying, he's having a storm, but he's going to hide that. Cats go hiding when you leave. And they come out after they tore the house up because they're upset you left them. But, you know, when we get upset, we kind of isolate ourselves. When we're going through problems and someone will come and say, can I help? No, I don't need help. That's not good. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5, we need Christians. We need each other. And then when you're going through a hard time, it's not a bad thing to have a good friend to call and say, hey, what would you do on this situation? Amen? And I, you know what's funny? It's the little things, little simple things. So I'm at an estate sale the other day, my wife and I. And I look down there and I see these belts. And I says, I don't need this. I'm looking at the homeowner and he's 6'2" and weighs 285 pounds and he's selling his belts. I'm 5'8.5" if I stand on my tippy toes. And if my wife's big foot is on the scale, I'm 160. And I said, ain't no way them belts are going to fit this boy. And I see these big, strong, gorgeous, expensive $30, $40 belts sitting there. I go, man, he goes, how much you want for the belts? He goes, $1. I pull them off, whatever, they fit perfect. I said, I don't need a belt. Well, I get home, I says, well, I'm going to take some of the belts that, not as good as these belts. So I pull them out. Yeah, so I give not as good as these belts to my grandson. See how this works? And I grabbed one that was a little small, a little tight on me, a little tiny. And I said, my grandson will use it. So I came yesterday, I said, Bradley, how come you don't have your belt on? He goes, because it broke. I'm thinking, okay, now hold on a second, Lord. I thought you got those belts for me. Not so Bradley can get a belt. Just the little things how God worked in a Christian to help a Christian. Sometimes God helps that way. Come on, amen. I've had people pass by me and says, hey, I remember Keith Barrick came in one day and says, Pastor, I'm looking for a box to sit in my seat right next to me so I can put some things in it. I walk in my office, there's one sitting there, I hand it to him. He goes, what else do you have in there? My son Brian said, do you have $1 million? No. All I'm saying is this, there's been times I needed something. Someone go, I got it right here. Come on, amen? That's nice that Christians are around to help us out. Church members, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, we need each other. We're gonna suffer persecution. We need each other. Come on, amen? And the church, Acts chapter 14. Go there if you would, please. Acts chapter 14. Let's look at this verse, a couple of verses, and we'll move on to the next point. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, if you would with me. Acts 14, 22 says this, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed and fasted and commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Amen? Hey, what was Paul and Silas doing? They're going back, Paul and Barnabas is doing, going back and encouraging the churches, and the churches were encouraging them. We're going to have this church planting conference in December. One of the reasons for that is it encouraged preachers. to keep going on through storms. And some of them I just called are going through some storms. I said, you need to get over here and so we can encourage you. Go back to our text, if you would, please, and look at verse 38 through 41. The Bible says, And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So let's see the next thing, and this is very important, and that is the purpose of the storm. We ought to understand, how am I going to be successful in the storm? Is find out, you got to stop your whining, wipe your eyes clean, get off to the side with the Word of God and find out, why am I having this storm? Now, has anybody here ever had problems in your life that you yourself caused? Everybody's going, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Amen. Never happened. Not yet. We've all done that. I still remember many years ago, my wife and I we wanted to do something. I can't remember what it was, but we borrowed $2,000 from this group that was around. I can't remember the name of the group, and it was high interest, like 18%. And we thought, we can pay it off in a few months. Man, a year later, we're still paying on that stupid thing. I thought, I looked at her and says, well, the reason for this storm is we're stupid. Do not borrow money you can't pay back. Amen? And so we found out later, never borrow, or if you're going to have a credit card, make sure you have money in the bank to take care of that credit card right now. Don't get yourself in hock. And we did that, and praise God, I learned a lesson. But we need to learn a lesson. Number one is to praise God. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Boy, I'm going to tell you, would you be, hey, listen, if I was in the boat with you and I walked out in a storm and said, peace be still, and went, you would go, whoa, pastor's got connections. Can you imagine? Not only did the wind stop and the rain stop, but the waves stopped. Boom, calm like that. Wow, that's amazing. Amen. They got a perception of self. Verse 40. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? I was asked one time, a Christian said, why am I going through troubles? Is it to build my character? No. It's to reveal your character. Storms don't build character. They show you what kind of person you really are. And it's to show you, God already knows what kind of person you are. And we need to work on it. Come on, amen? But that's what the purpose is. It's to prepare us for the next one. Look at chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. Verse 44. It's chapter 6, verse 44. The Bible says, and they did eat the loaves, were about 5,000. Straightway constrained the disciples to get into the ship, go to the other side, before unto Bethsaida. Well, he sent away the people. And when they had sent them away, he went up. You remember, he went up and prayed. And if you look, he says they were in the midst of the sea. In verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth of the watch of the night, he cometh and unto them, walking upon the sea. And he would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that he had been a spirit and cried out. And they saw him, they all saw him, were troubled, and immediately he talked with them. And saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Did you see that? So he went, hey, why didn't these guys learn from the first lesson? How many of you had to take a test in your life twice? The same test. Why? Anybody tell me why? Why, Elijah? Lack of preparation. But what was the end result of your lack of preparation? You failed. Amen. Right? Right? You failed the first time. I've done it too. You failed the first time. Anybody like taking a test twice? No. So learn from the first one. Amen? So at least you're not failing three times. Amen? Three best years were the fifth grade, you know. But no, we don't want to hear that. We need to, it prepares us for the next one. The person for them, verse 35, the Bible says, if you would please, we're quickly. It says, and he, the same day when even was come, he saith to them, let us pass over unto the other side. The person, God is with us, amen? He's the creator, he's going to be with us all the way. He's the controller, he controls the seas, he controls the storms. God will not give anything on you that is not for your good. He's a consister. He's in control of it. He guides it. Yeah. That's why in the book of Job it says, and God sent a storm, a great wind. Why? It probably wasn't God that sent it, but God allowed it. God understood that Satan, because he said, Satan, you're the one that did all this. But he allowed him to do it. We see the promise, not only the person for them, we see the promise for them. Let us go over unto what? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? He will perform it. We are victors, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are conquerors, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. And we are, I put down here, hopers. The hope of our faith is the trials will make us pure gold. They're to make us gold. Can you just imagine the heat that has to come on gold to make it pure? What was gold at now, Brenda? Over 4,000? 4,000 pounds and dollars an ounce, is it? A troy ounce? That's insane. I remember it was 300 and something back when I was a kid. Ah, man, I should have bought it back then. But to get it pure, all the heat of that fire. Well, heat's not fun. Just ask Stacy. I tell you one thing, I ain't messing with her right hand. That thing has been exercised tonight. If she goes to slap me, I'm ducking. I ain't taking the blow, I'm telling you. But it's hot's no fun, is it? And when heat comes, I mean, I can't imagine that kind of heat. Verse 39, I like this. And he arose and rebuked the sea, wind and the, said unto the sea, peace. Peace for them. You know what helps me out? I think this is the main thing that kept me keeps me on an even keel in my life. You know, some people are so up and down, it's not even funny. One of the reasons why I'm not a charismatic guy, I don't have the charismatic, well, I'm talking about that in the churches, you know, the Holy Spirit rollers, holy roller guys, you know, that if they're so up and down, it's not funny. If everything's going right, they're right with God. If everything's going wrong, they're wrong with God. And I'm thinking, hold on a second, can I be right and still have problems? Yeah. Amen? According to the scriptures, Paul was one of the closest guys to the Lord, and he had a lot of problems going on in his life. Epaphroditus was serving the Lord and sick unto death at the same time. So it's very evident you can't have problems. Job was what? Man, he had chewed evil. He hated evil. He pushed it away. Upright and righteous man, have you considered him? And he had problems. But this helps me have peace. Listen to these three things. And if you get these, that's it. I think you can make it. Remember, you're saved. You are saved by grace. We need to remember that. We're saved by grace on our way to heaven. That ought to be enough. But the second one's even better. We are sanctified. We're not the world's. We're His. We're God's children. Come on, amen? Man, He's going to take me on a bumpy road. That's just for my fun. I still remember going on some old bumpy roads with the family and my wife screaming and hollering. The kids are having a great time. Let's do it again. You can, different attitudes, amen? Different attitudes. All I know is this, no matter what road I am His son, and He's not going to get rid of me. I like that. He knows the best. Number three, you're secure.
Amen.
He has you in his hand. The Father, who is greater than all, has you in his hand. And no man is able to pluck you out of the hand. We're secure. We need to remember that. There is no rain without a storm. Nor deliverance. There's no deliverance without a trial. There's no victory without a battle. Victory is not whining. Victory is that we keep pressing towards the mark, even in the battle. Let's bow our heads, please.